Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. Whether you're tuning in through Conversations Radio Network, we welcome you. Those joining us on the radio dial in Mississippi at WYAD 94.1 FM, we're glad you all could tune in with us today. As well as joining us in Atlanta at 106 Live, we're glad to have all of you with us as well. Best-selling author Linda Fairstein is making her first appearance on our program today to talk to us not only about her literary journey, but what it's been like for her to share her love of mysteries as well as entertaining readers with all of you. And of course, been able to see the response. Her new book that's been out now this year is really, I think, a great read for all of us, no matter if we're young or young at heart. It's the first in the Devlin Quick Mysteries. It's called Into the Lion's Den. We're going to talk to Linda not only about the new book, but what it's been like for her to introduce these new characters and what it's been like for her already to see the response to the book. Linda, hello to you, and welcome to the program.
Cyrus, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, Linda, the pleasure is definitely all mine. I was telling you before we went on here, I enjoyed the book myself and was excited to have this conversation with you about it. I noticed that, you know, I'm one of those individuals who follow you online, and you already have been visiting schools with the book, Linda, being able to already see the response from readers. I mean, what does this feel like for you? Because you are someone who people know, you know, as an author who delivers great mysteries anyway. But what is it like for you now to have this new audience being introduced to your work?
It's a total thrill. You're the first person to ask me that, Cyrus. The book has only been out a week, and this is what's new for me because, of course, with adult books, I do a tour all over the country. It's a wonderful way to meet and introduce yourself to new readers, grow your audience, meet old readers who've been with you. But I grew up really devoted to the series of books. I have an older brother, so The Hardy Boys was kind of my first series, series of mysteries, and then I realized there was one featuring a girl, Nancy Drew. So it's kind of that age, 7, 8, 9, that I found this love for mysteries and the excitement of running along with characters you meet over and over again in a new book. So that's exactly why I wanted to switch up, and I'm not quitting my adult series, but I really was anxious to meet young readers and give them something that's fun, but I think also intelligent to read.
Right, right. And I think the other thing that's so great, Linda, and I noticed this, and we'll talk more about the new character, Devlin, that you introduced us to, but, well, you have been a lover of books, you know, all of your life. You're now able to meet these young readers who also are lovers of books. I mean, is that also part of the connection that you feel with them, that you know what it's like to be that age and to be excited by books?
Yes, I really remember I was always read to as a kid by my mother. It's just one of those fondest memories. A lot of sing-song poetry, Winnie the Pooh kind of stuff, and Robert Louis Stevenson wrote great poems for children. And then I remember, you know, a little bit about learning to read, not strong memories of what the books were. Then I kind of got to the age I'm writing for, middle grade, 8 to 12, and I very definitely remember specific books, The Wind in the Willows, Pippi Longstocking, Treasure Island, books that just transported you and took you somewhere else. They were the friends on a rainy day or a sick day home from school. So this was a world I wanted to give back. And when I found Nancy Drew as a kid, I remember the color of the spine of the books and where they sat on my shelves, and it was always so exciting when a new one came out and it was a special occasion and my mother would let me have it as opposed to a library book that I had to take back. So I very intentionally set out to reach this age group and do exactly what I'm trying to do here with this book.
Yeah, for sure, and you definitely accomplish it. You know, I get accused a lot, Linda, that I get so lost in characters. I'm definitely a people person, and I love the idea of being able to get to actually know the person behind, you know, what other people know. Of course, we want to talk about the mystery of, you know, that Devlin is involved in, but what I love is that you allow us to know Devlin, allow us to know Devlin's mother and a little bit about her journey and what she's been able to deal with. Did you know going in that you needed to do that in the first book to allow us to know a little bit more about the girl as we're able to take this journey with her as she's solving mysteries?
Well, two answers to that, Cyrus. One is, I really think I go into this with the advantage of having written 18 crime novels that are adult thrillers. And
right.
And so I sort of know in terms of plotting what to expect, and that readers will often say when you go to a bookstore or traveling around the country, here's why I like Alex Cooper. I like her friends. I like the relationship she has with Mike Chapman, the male detective in the series. So I think that gave me a distinct advantage. If this were the first book I had written, it wouldn't necessarily be so, but writing mm-hmm. another series, that's helped shape this. And I think the other thing, I'm laughing as I say this, which your listeners can't see, but has a big smile on my face. I mean, I thought about this book and Devlin, this book, Into the Lion's Den, is the first in a series. I thought about it for so long that when I sat down to write, I had really been peopling her world, creating her family, her friends, what sport she likes, because I think as a kid, sport really does help, sport competition helps build character. And so that was the second reason. It wasn't somebody just sitting me down and saying, okay, write a book for kids now. I went into
right.
it with a lot of forethought.
Wow. And that definitely comes through. We're going to talk more about that. Linda, for those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. We're excited to welcome best-selling author Linda Fairstein to our program today. She's celebrating not only the release of her new book, the first in the Devlin Quick Mystery series called Into the Lion's Den, but we're talking with her about the literary journey she's been on. There's a line that struck me that I made a note of from the book. Linda, talking about not Devlin, but Devlin's mother. Devlin is actually making mm-hmm. the comment to the character Liza that we meet, and she's talking about her grandparents, and one of the things that she says is that they underestimated her strength, talking about Devlin's mom. Do you feel as though that's also one of the things that happens when people are introduced to Devlin, is that they look at her just as this young girl, not as someone who actually can make a difference, can have an impact, and can actually achieve something?
What a good question, Cyrus. I know that line, and I know that I did not write it with the double entendre of making that point that you're making about Devlin, but what a great subconscious. I must have been working it through subconsciously because, yeah, as you know, having read it, Devlin's mother is a single mother, and she's New York City's first woman police commissioner, which is a job I wanted 30 years ago, 25 years ago. And so she was widowed even before Devlin was born. It's not a sad part of the story, but it's just
right.
a fact of that she's a single mother. And so, yes, Devlin's grandparents, through her late father, really didn't imagine that Blaine would have the strength, the mother, to carry on and have a full career and raise this child. And as you and I know, and your listeners know, many, many people do have those strengths today and do live
right.
that kind of life. And you make a really good point, my subconscious at work, that Devlin is 12. When she and her friends witness this criminal act in the public library, the New York's great public library, as usual, adults sort of don't believe that anything bad could have happened there. So it's up to the kids themselves to take on the man I'm calling the map thief. And you're right. I mean, people look at the kids and really don't see any of them as up to taking on the establishment of the library, a male criminal who has the means to travel around from city to city doing bad things. So I'm going to look at that line a whole new way now, but I thank you for for sussing that out for me.
Well, you bring up another interesting point that I had not planned on discussing, but since you brought up about the, you know, the library and what happened there, there, you know, it kind of, a part of Devlin's mother comes out in another scene where she's having this, you know, this conversation with Miss Bland, who definitely is being kind of condescending to Devlin about, you know what she probably saw and what Liza is trying to say to her. But, you know, even trying to make the point, and the reason I bring that up is because one of the things that Devlin kind of thinks to herself is that, you know, this lady doesn't know who I am. She doesn't know who my mother is. You know, she doesn't know, you know, who, you know, what I've been around. I mean, I think that says so much. The reason I bring that up is because I think we don't always give credit to young people as to what they know and what they observe. And it really shows a lot about Devlin that Devlin even cares. I mean, talk to us about how she came to you. You mentioned that she, you know, she kind of had her fleshed out. But where did the idea for her come from?
Thank you. The idea really came from the Nancy Drew books. I was not trying to copy or to imitate that just great series of mysteries, which are still being written today. Your listeners may or may not know the heartbreak that I had when I found out those books are penned by an author named Carolyn Keene. Well, she doesn't really exist. She's just a pseudonym for a bunch of authors over time. Not even at the beginning was it Carolyn Keene. So I instead wanted to really pay a tribute to the creation of Nancy Drew by all of those women over the years. That was the original seed or kernel of the character. I think that she has traits that I've drawn from people I admire in life. I've already gotten asked by kids this week at different schools, which is great fun and much more of a challenge, may I say, than talking to adults because nothing is filtered. These kids really just stand there and ask you what they want to ask you. But several have asked, you know, was I at 12 like Devlin? And I really wasn't. This is a much more independent young woman than I was. I grew up in the suburbs in the 1950s, a really pretty sheltered existence. I would no more have thought of chasing after a criminal than, I don't know, going to the moon. But so that's part of it. She has physical courage, which I didn't have at all. I don't think still to this day that I have a lot. But things that did make a difference to me, she's a swimmer on a swim team, which was my competition from the time I was 8 till I graduated from high school. And I loved it, and I loved the sportsmanship and camaraderie that it gave me. You learn to lose. You learn to swim on a relay team where your wins or losses depend on what you add or don't to the team. And just so many little things that, as I say, for the probably 3 to 5 years before I started to write the story, I would encounter a kid or I would encounter someone in a book. And I'd just pick out traits that I wanted to develop in creating the whole character of Devlin. So she is a child of many parts.
Right. And I think the other thing is that is so, to me, it's so subtle, but that is also so interesting. And I'll talk around this so that I won't spoil it for those who haven't read it. Linda, we're going to let our audience know how they can get the book. Is that, again, all of this takes place in a library. And unfortunately, here in Mississippi, where I live, you know, I talk to librarians all the time, and a lot of them talk about how, you know, their computers get used a whole lot more than their books do. You know, and so, you know, and I think, you know, it is something that is not just in this area, but it's something that a lot of people are dealing with across this country when it comes to books and libraries, you know, actually being a place where people are finding. I mean, you know, that in itself says so much about you're setting the book there and the attention that Devlin plays to what goes on in the library and the respect she has as she tries to show for books. I mean, talk to us about that. I mean, has that been part of your conversation with young people?
Yes, it has. Yes, it has. And in fact, my first two big events were at libraries in New York, the great New York Public Library. Some of your listeners know from the two iconic lions that guard it on Fifth Avenue, mm-hmm. and the Brooklyn Central Library, which actually has no connection to the Manhattan Library. And libraries were hugely important in my formative years. We didn't have a lot of books in my house growing up, a lot of hardcovers. It was a real treat and a privilege to go with my mother on Saturday morning downtown to our local library. Now I think you can take out unlimited numbers, as the kids keep telling me when I speak to them. But in those days, I could take three books out, you know, and then read those that week and go back. And you had a great librarian who would take the time to say to you, which one did you like and why did you like it, and then try and lead you to something else that might relate. So the librarian at Devlin School, who is such an important part of her life, is named for my actual elementary school librarian, who just gave me such a love for books. I mean, I had some of that from my parents, but that librarian, whose name is Doris Shorey, it was a world apart, and we really did have just a public elementary school, but in those days, just as there were often music classes and art classes and all the things we've lost in budgets for public schools, there was a library, and it had a sunny corner in the afternoons, and there was a big green leather wing chair. And depending on who did what during the day, I mean, if you'd come in and you'd finished a particular assignment or a book, Ms. Shorey would let one of us sit in that green leather wing chair, which was just the most elegant piece of furniture I'd ever seen. And it was all about the books. So you're right. I mean, an adventure like this, a mystery, could be set anywhere. All of Nancy Drew's books took place in the fictional town of River Heights, and it must have been a very crime-ridden community because she had 60, 80, 100 opportunities to solve crimes. And I was very anxious to show the public library, not because it's full of crime, but people do bad things to books that should be public and treated with respect and dignity. So very much an intentional choice of setting, a happy setting, and very much anxious to introduce Devlin and have her introduce her readers to a very magical place for me.
Right. I think that is such a great thing. And, you know, that brings me to another line as we close that actually came from Devlin's grandmother, and I made a note of the page number on this one, page number 172, for those who have the print edition of the book. A great lesson for all of us, whether we're young or young at heart, you must always fight for what is true. And I think that is a great lesson for all of us to remember, a great truth for us to be able to remember, and something that it seems like Devlin has really embraced in this book. And we're definitely looking forward to Linda to seeing where you're able to take her and take the rest of us next. Again, the book is called Into the Lion's Den. It's the first in the Devlin Quick Mystery Series by bestselling author Linda Fairstein. We've been speaking with Linda not only about this book, but also about her own journey and what it's been like for her now to be able to share this journey with all of you. The book is available now wherever you normally buy your books, either online or, of course, through your favorite bookstore. If they don't have it, they'll be more than happy to order it for you. And, Linda, the best place to stay connected with you, is it just your website?
There are two websites now. So one is my name, which has all the Devlin information, too, and where we're appearing and Facebook comments and all that kind of stuff that people do now. But Devlin also has her own website now, devlinquick.com, which is more child-friendly as well,
okay,
and doesn't involve the adult thrillers.
Okay. So make sure you all head over then to devlinquick.com for that website. And Linda, what a pleasure it's been to speak with you. Thank you so much for the time, and I hope you will come back when the next book releases.
I certainly will. And Cyrus, I can't tell you what it means to authors to have shows like this, serious talk shows where the interviewers read the book and an audience listens to intelligent conversation about books. I can't thank you enough.
Thank you. Well, thank you so much for that. I definitely appreciate that. And we definitely appreciate authors like you, and we appreciate our libraries that are out there as well, for sure. And I want to make sure our audience continues to tell our librarians out there how much you appreciate the resources that they deliver. So, again, thank you so much, Linda. Really appreciate it and looking forward to the next chat.
Thanks so much, Cyrus. Thanks to you.
You're more than welcome. And we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. If you all came in late, you missed part of the conversation with Linda, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right after we go off the air. The link is already available through our social media sites, so head over to facebook.com/CyrusWeb or go over to twitter.com/CyrusWeb. If you click on the link there, you can listen to the show completely for free and share it with your friends from there. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. You all make it a great one.